You're listening to Sabah Al Muslim on Radio Islam International. We have with us in the studio this morning Ismail Vadi, the MEC of Gauteng for Road and Transport. And he'll be chatting to us about various issues this morning. We welcome him to the studios. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
Allah shukr, I'm well.
Earlier in this week, we understand that you launched a multi-million rand project which will improve mobility and safety on Gauteng's busiest roads, the William Nicol Drive route that has been a notorious route also. Tell us more about that to the outset.
This is the second phase of the William Nicol Drive project that we are doing. It's a 576 million rand project. It is one of the biggest that the Department of Roads and Transport is undertaking. For those who are familiar with the area and the road, we have completed phase one. It's six lanes, three on both sides. We've also included cycle lanes and pedestrian walkways. So we're working on a new concept called complete streets, so that motorized transport and non-motorized transport, pedestrians and cycling and obviously public transport, all have a space. It is extremely costly to accommodate all of these different kinds of interests. But we think that if we, particularly on the major arterial routes, if we are doing roads upgrade, we might as well do a better job and do a complete job. And that's why the concept of a complete street. So the second phase is now being launched. We're hoping it will be completed by September next year. And the good thing is that it will link the whole of the Randburg, Daintree area to the N14 freeway. And then, of course, just past the N14 freeway, that's the old Krugersdorp, what we know as the Krugersdorp Highway, we've also completed the R511 that takes you right through to Erasmia and Lodium and then links to Atwichville. So this is a major upgrade that we have done. And in total, we have spent just over 1.2 billion rands on that entire route.
Now, you speak about complete street. Is this the same sort of ideology behind the Abu Bakr Azwad Drive, where you have the walkway on the side, which has been frustrating for motorists? And we've also spoke about this on the past on the radio, and you also touched on that, that we've got to consider the pedestrians as also part of the road users.
I think that's really the idea. I mean, this is a global trend. So if you look at city development elsewhere in the world, cities are increasingly looking at the question of sustainability. And sustainability means that you also have to look at environmental sustainability, traffic congestion, how people manage their time, etc. And more people are looking at other options other than driving to reach their destination. So either because of economic circumstances or by choice, people decide to walk or to cycle or to use other modes of mobility. And I think what cities throughout the world are doing is starting to plan for that. Last year in October, you know that the city of Joburg hosted the Eco-Mobility Festival for the entire month of October. The idea was to begin to see what's possible and to see what are the new ideas that are emerging. And the reality is that cities are becoming completely congested. Take Cairo, for example, or Sao Paulo in Brazil, elsewhere. Cities, Lagos, you can't move sometimes. Sometimes just to get from one point to another in the city for a meeting can take you up to 2 hours. And that is a waste of economic time, waste of productive time. It is costly for a city. It makes you inefficient. And I think the idea is to begin to look at other alternative ways of moving people. So you'll see that many of the advanced cities, what they're doing, they're going for trams, they're going for metro rail. Even Delhi, I don't know if you've been to Delhi recently, the metro rail is one of the most successful projects that the city of Delhi has introduced. On a daily basis, up to 2.5 million people use the Delhi metro. So that's what it's about. It's about mass transit, getting people quickly for short distances, but not getting them clogged up on the roads.
What's the situation of our own roads? So there has been messages that have come through, and we've asked people to speak about the problems and to highlight it. Some are saying that the stormwater drains on Gauteng roads are clogged and these are causing accidents. What's your response in that regard?
This is a big problem. It's a problem facing all of our municipalities. If I look at just my street, right, Mahanadi, a number of drains have been clogged up. And the thing is people are building. Right, sand, the spillover sand onto the road, that then eventually flows into the drainage system, stones, pebbles, bottles, all sorts of things. And that builds up and clogs up the system. So one of the basic things we're asking communities to do, neighborhoods to do, is to just keep the area around the street drains clean. Now, you can turn around and say, but that's the council's responsibility. But when you're building and all the debris now flows into the drainage system, it's your responsibility. You are contributing to that problem. So it's the clogging up that's a major problem. Four or five weeks ago, I got a call from one of our colleagues who used to be in Indonesia before. He says, the cars are drowning on the highway. I said, what are you saying? He says, no. If you go towards Snake Road, Bunny Park area, what has happened there is that the vagabonds, the street sweepers, took their mattresses and stuffed it for storage in the drainage system. And then we had a massive downpour that night. The entire highway was flooded. 12-car pile-up in the area. So, you see, it's a small thing. Guy takes a mattress and keeps it for storage, but in a drainage system, but it blocks the entire the water flow system, the reticulation, and creates a very serious crisis for us on the highways. So I think it's both a responsibility, it's a municipal responsibility, but it's also our civic responsibility to keep the drains clean.
If you have any issues that you'd like to raise, the lines are open on 011-854-1548, and you can SMS 48855, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 072-786-1548. Here's a message coming through from Extension 9. It says that please ask MEC Vadi about a slip road at Scorpio Drive, Extension 9. A lot of accidents.
Look, I've had that request quite some time. I think it is a legitimate request. You know that we are looking at the possibility of constructing the new linkage between Indonesia and the N12 freeway. You just spoke about the Dr. Abu Bakr Azwa Drive, which is heavily congested. And of course, we've closed up the railroad crossover here. That has created a big problem. Once we finalize the plans for the link, for the new link road between Indonesia and the N12, we will upgrade. The whole of Nirvana Drive will have to be upgraded. Because it's part of the big east-west link that we talk about between the east end and the west end, and the N12 is quite an important part of it. So we will be looking at that whole area from Aikenhof up to Indonesia will have to be looked at much more carefully. We've got quite a bit of a road reserve there, so we'll be looking at a comprehensive package. Whether we've got the budget for it, we'll see, but it's on the plans, because this entrance to Indonesia is heavily congested. Saturdays when there are funerals, etc., it becomes extremely difficult, particularly when you're on the Avalon Cemetery side of the highway. And we're going to have to look at a new link road between Indonesia and the N12. May I also add that, last year we had launched...
Can we come back to that? We have a call on the line. Let's go to the caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum. You're live on air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Where are you calling from?
I have two questions for Ismail Vadi. The first one is regarding the car licenses. Ismail, can you inform us that every year the licensing department used to issue out reminders for car licenses? Now, suddenly, they've stopped that, and I don't think many people are aware of that. So you've got to use your own initiative and look at when your license is expiring. Now, the same thing happened to me. One doesn't have to, you get a reminder, and if you don't pay, then that's your problem. But now, since when has the Department of Transport taken up this issue? Because I didn't get a reminder, and I read it in the newspaper somewhere, only to run and see that, my license had expired. First of all, if a Metro cop stopped me, which fortunately it didn't, I would have got a fine. But I subsequently went to the post office to pay, and for a 2-week penalty, I had to pay 130 rand. Now, I met other guys at the post office, and the one brother told me that he had to pay something like 1,300 rand, because he was a few months in arrears. Now, the point I'm getting at, is the transport department making more money out of penalties than your actual license? And since when has this? Because if you fill in the form, they want your cell number. So why is it that they can't just send you by SMS a reminder that your license is due? So I don't think that's fair, number one. Number two...
Okay, let's take one issue at a time.
Okay.
You are raising a very legitimate issue. I was confronted with the same thing. My license expired, only to discover a few days after that, look, there's a problem. No, there's no policy to not to issue the notices. What is happening now is that we have a company called Tasima. that they do the back office work for the whole licensing system. They've got a contract with the National Department of Transport and the Road Transport Management Corporation, the RTMC. There's a very serious legal dispute between the department and Tasima. This matter has gone to court 17 times. Sometimes the state wins and sometimes the company has won. It is now gone to the Constitutional Court for a final resolution of the contractual dispute. Now, as a result of this dispute, Tasima has not paid the post office, and because Tasima claims the department is not paying it, and as a result, the post office is not sending out the notices. So we are aware of the problem. It is not a policy change. It's a little, you know, there's a serious legal battle that is going on, and until that is resolved, we might not find a clear solution to this thing. We have raised it with the National Minister of Transport. They are making arrangements to pay the post office. They've indicated to us that it will be done by the end of this month, so I'm hoping that in a matter of a few days this matter will be resolved. At least the payment will be made so that people can get their notices. It is a real problem, and I agree with you.
But I think, Ismail, in the interim, the Department of Transport could send out SMSs, you know.
I take the point. I take the point. We should have done some alternative arrangements. Personally, I mean, our department here, we don't have access to the data, to all the addresses. All that is linked. This is part of the contractual dispute. Who owns the intellectual property and the information? It's
okay.
Part of the dispute that's going on. So if you say, do you have all the SMSs as the Department of Roads and Transport in Gauteng of every motorist in this province, the answer is no.
Well, in the interim, I think all listeners should be running to their cars to see if they...
No, you're right.
Problem.
May I just say one more thing? You've got to fill in a form when you get to the post office, and that's quite frustrating also.
I know, I've done that.
You can download the form. From the RTMC website. You can fill it out at home. Just take a copy of your ID with you. It will save you a lot of administrative headaches.
Sweet. On the second point of the flooding, Ismail, now that we've got flash floods, you know, during this period of...
Sure.
I just think one thing that the JRA, especially like in the Johannesburg area, they're not doing routine maintenance. I can tell you offhand two or three places which will regularly flood whenever there's rain. For example, the bridge near Ellis Park. You know, the M1 at Smith Street, the on-ramp, that place floods all the time. So I don't think there's routine maintenance. Now, I agree with you, there are other areas, and I think your problem is also the city of Joburg, where they're not implementing bylaws. For example, in the Mayfair area, and I know the area well, you would see hawkers selling there. But at the same time, you see a lot of hawkers pushing in the leftovers into the drains there. Now, you know, things like that clogs up the drains, and you have this problem whenever it rains, you know, all this, every corner is flooded. So two things. I think the city of Joburg needs to be strict with bylaws, number one, and routine maintenance. Jazakallah.
I agree fully with you. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Jazakallah for the call. We keep the lines open if there's any other callers that want to raise issues. In fact, we have four callers on. We're going to try and get through them as quick as possible. Let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from, I'm actually driving at the moment, but I'm not speaking on my cell phone.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
I live in the west, right, and I've got two issues. Right next to my home is the main drain that runs from a field across under, right, into the drain. The water runs under and into the drain and under through to Hamburg. Now, when it rains like that, my house always gets flooded. I've contacted Johannesburg's Metro, as well as the incompetent councillor in the area, who never comes out, all right? And fortunately, unfortunately, it's a DA councillor. She never comes out. I've asked, and it's a long process to claim from the city. My home has been flooded several times, and my mother-in-law stays there as well. But now the problem is they don't cut the grass because it's an open field where the main drains are running through. So even when they cut the grass, all of that goes into it. So the water all runs into my property. All right. The second issue is that is Goldman Road, which is the main road that runs into Clarendon and becomes Fifth Avenue through to Roodepoort, where there's two issues. Over the weekends, it becomes a racing ground for young people. We've asked for hump. They said it's a main road. You can't have hump. It is a problem because there's also schools in the area. In the morning, kids walk to school. The taxi rank that was put up at Roodepoort station becomes a huge problem. Sometimes I can't even get out of my driveway because the taxis just race down the road. So I want, I would like NEC to come out and have a look if possible, because nobody's helping the community. The councillor is totally incompetent because this road, there's been so many accidents. I had a car roll into my property.
Okay,
because
we're going
to... Because of the racing that's going on.
We'll get the MEC to respond to that. We appreciate you calling in and raising the issues. Okay, you can listen on air and you will respond to it. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's take another caller and then we'll get the MEC to respond. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Ahmed Umar. I live in Yala Avenue, Extension 5. What happens is we've got two schools around us. We've got the Trinity School, we've got the Nur Islam Madrasa and Nur Islam Masjid. What happens again, the taxi guys, they drive up and down like madmen. So if we've asked numerous times for humps on Yala Avenue, but unfortunately it hasn't come through. They have put in some minor humps there, but the guys have realized that those humps don't do anything to their motor cars, and they just go over them at a very, very high speed. Can we have a higher hump there? That's all my request.
Okay.
Yala Avenue, Extension 5.
Okay, we'll get MEC to respond to that.
Can I give my name and telephone number, or is it not necessary?
No, it's not necessary. I'm familiar with Nyala Avenue, and that's something that we can get the GRA and the municipality to look at. Just on the caller, the earlier call that we had, the Roodepoort taxi rank is being designed by by our department, the Department of Roads and Transport. I'm due to do a visit there quite soon. Let me come down. I will try and see if I can get into Goldman Road and also see what are the practical difficulties there. But without doing a site inspection, it's difficult to say exactly what is possible and what is not possible. But I am due to do a visit to the Roodepoort taxi rank in the next few weeks.
Okay. Jazakumullah khair for responding to those complaints and issues that were raised. Now we go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lanesia. I've just got a few questions for Brother Ismail.
Yes.
Firstly, with regard to the licensing system, you have a service fee that they're charging, which they've increased yearly. Surely you're supposed to have a depreciation on that service fee and not the increase on it. Number one. Number two, the brother just called us earlier, talking about the speed humps. There is a JRA standard with speed humps, so they cannot just increase the height of that speed hump. What they need is enforcement, law enforcement, proper law enforcement in Lanesia or greater areas. And then the other thing is, I mean, service delivery generally has been pathetic. If you look at it from 2010, we've asked for some things. It's only taking place now in 2016, being implemented. So, I mean, waiting for 5 years for service delivery and then complaining that, you know, the community needs to take responsibility, it's not fair.
Okay. Those are your issues.
Well, yes.
Okay. Your response?
On the service fee is very simple. The license, the motor vehicle license, is made up of two components. One is the actual license fee itself, and then there's an administration fee. If I remember correctly, the administration fee now is about 38 rands. It's indicated on your license, the form that you get. So I don't think there's been an excessive increase, and that fee is really used to pay because for the services that the post office renders to us, they charge us a fee for that.
No, but that's... It's not the post office. You're paying the service fee even if you pay it at the licensing office.
Yes, and I'm aware of that. And the second thing is, I indicated to you that there's a back office company that is running this for which we've got to pay a fee. So that's the administrative cost that goes with it. We don't increase the administrative cost separately and the licensing fee separately. No, it's one comprehensive percentage cost every year, and we try and keep it more or less inflation related or slightly above inflation.
But if I remember correctly, that service fee was purely for the new computer system that they've actually installed.
No, that's not true. It's for the actual rendering of services. For example, with the post office, now that they're doing the service and the functions for us, we pay a fixed percentage fee for that, and I think this year it's about 11.4%, which somebody has to pay for.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the motorist who's being burdened with additional costs, so service delivery does becomes non...
In other parts of the world, the motor vehicle license is extremely expensive.
No,
I can challenge you on that.
The first
we don't have an excessive licensing fee in this country. It is excessive. Go to China, for example, to get a number plate license, that means to register the vehicle, will be equivalent to about 50,000 rand just to get the number plate license. It's a mechanism that governments use to regulate traffic congestion, etc., and the number of vehicles. We are not taking that policy. We are simply doing a routine operation. Of course, we raise provincial revenue through that function, but I don't think that our motor vehicle license fees are excessive. We've done a comparative study with all provinces in the country, and I can tell you that we are comparable with the Western Cape or the KZN or any other province in the country.
Okay. Jazakallah for raising the issues.
Okay. MCS has responded to that.
Let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lanesia Extension 6.
Yes.
And I need my Olive Avenue, that's where we stay. And for the last 37 years, we've been complaining to the new government and the old government to put ramps, or they put the 60-kilometer board now about 2 months ago, I think. But be as it may, the people are still using it as a racing ground, Olive Avenue.
No, I'm familiar with Olive Avenue. I live just down the road there, so I travel on that road almost every day.
Yeah, now, how do we stay like this way in this area for the last 37 years?
No, I don't. I think the issue is that is a provincial bus route, and generally on the bus routes, we try and avoid putting in bumps. If I take Mahanadi...
I'm not going to go with the bumps. What we're asking is that don't you send your people to trap them here?
Okay, if you want that, we can do it quite rigorously, and you'll be the first to cry, I can tell you that. We've started.
I will not cry.
No, let me say this, Faj, I'm just joking with you. I'm saying that, look, we've put in now traffic cops on Nirvana Drive, you might have noticed, and I can tell you, within 10 minutes of them being there, I start getting Twitter feeds that say, that guys are on Nirvana Drive, watch the speed limit. So it's a cat and mouse game. At the end of the day...
But
listen to me. You see, at the end of the day, we need responsible driving. That's really the answer lies in people's behavior. You can't put speed bumps everywhere. You can't have a traffic cop on every street monitoring all the time. It's not humanly possible. It's about responsible behavior. We live in this community. All of us drive. It's our responsibility to make sure that we drive responsibly and we take into account the safety of other people. And when...
Okay. It's not going to work because for the 37 years that I'm staying here, they talked about speed traps. They never came out with that. But now, I say 2 months ago, they put a 60 board down the line. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking, where did we say we all got to drive responsibility? The same thing like you're telling me we've got to be looking after our houses, but some people are stealing in our house. How do we do that? But I'm asking, why can't we stop that in all of evidence?
No, fair enough. I take your point. I understand what you are saying. Sometimes 12 o'clock at night, I can hear the cars racing down there when I'm about to fall asleep. But you can't have a traffic cop there 12 o'clock at night. That's the point I'm making. But we have
so
put
what
in the... We have put in a 60-kilometer signage on that particular road. You are right. Now, what we need to do is to get the traffic department to enforce that more stringently.
Okay.
Because why? It's happening for 37 years and that's not a joke anymore.
Okay, point taken. And that's
complained to the new government. He did nothing. And now we're asking you people to do the same thing. They said write a letter, but still nothing happened. But what we're asking, how do we stop this? Because we're not going to have cooperative people to listen to what you're saying, especially on the road.
We note your point.
Jazakum khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, how are you this morning and where are you calling from?
Malana, I'm calling from Greenside, but I don't think we'll have time to discuss this, but for the future. These guys that pull carts, we have great sympathy for them. They come and they empty the dustbins, take the plastic bags, you know, they need it, it's a job. But the hazard that it is that, you know, you don't sometimes see them if it's raining and so on. And there's so many times that I've had almost had an accident with them. So what can we do to regulate that? I'm not saying take it away because people are getting a job out of it, but the safety aspect is a huge concern.
Your response?
No, I agree with you. I don't think we have a solution in sight. The issue is that they are earning a livelihood and it's an honest livelihood that they are working for. That's the idea of complete streets, is to make sure that we can create the infrastructure in such a way that different users can use the same street. problem in our country is historically we've only built a road for cars. But we are realizing that there are many more people other than motorists who use the road, whether they are joggers or walkers or cyclists or hawkers. All of those people have to be accommodated. That's the nature of a modern city. And it becomes particularly difficult in suburban areas because we have lots of people, you know, in the residential areas moving around, etc. It does become an issue. We don't have a solution. It's something that I know the city of Johannesburg is thinking very carefully, because even in the city center, sometimes in a very congested road, you find these guys pulling. I've seen them on the BRT routes now, pulling their carts, etc. It is becoming an issue, but I don't think the city has got a solution up front.
Okay. We appreciate your
maybe
call.
Maybe we need to get an Indaba or something to get that thing sorted out, because it is quite dangerous.
Sure.
Okay.
Bye. Assalamu alaikum.
Here's a message coming through. I'm not sure what they're referring to. It says, I invite MEC Wadi to drive with me for 3 days. I'm a rep on the road and do about 500 kilometers, 4,000 to 5,000 kilometers per month in Gauteng. It ends up there. Perhaps you can clarify what point is it that you want to make? You spend a lot of time on the road yourself, MEC?
I travel every day in different parts of Gauteng. I've got a reasonable sense of the entire Gauteng road network. This is part of our political work. We've drawn to meetings all over the province. So I have a good sense of the network. I can tell you that the provincial network, we have improved it substantially. We're investing a lot of money, not in building just new roads, but in maintaining and upgrading our old roads. A very good example that I want to talk to about was the N12. You know that we've just completed the complete overhauling now of the N12 from El Dorado Park right through to the northwest boundary. That highway was over 40 years old. It was not rehabilitated. We've spent 510 million rands over this project. The road has been restored. Hopefully it will give us another 10, 15 years of service. That's the kind of work we're doing all over the province. I've made sure that all municipalities are benefiting from this. We are working extremely hard to get our road network back into shape.
Yes, someone saying that, what about taxis in Mosquito Valley? There's not even a school there. They park on the road and there's no discipline. Something was supposed to have been done. Any response to that?
Well, I think, taxi mobility and taxi parking is a big issue in the whole of the province. We are an urbanized province, lots of in-migration, so more and more taxis are coming in because people use it as a credible form of public transport. There are no easy solutions. We know we had this big debate in our own community. If you want to create a parking facility near Nurul Islam Mosque, some people say yes, many people say no. But we want to find a solution to the problem. So wherever you find an open spot...
Where does that stand at the moment?
As far as I know, the contractor has been appointed by the city council, and that work should be starting quite soon. The problem is that you're not going to have parking space somewhere in the Bundus where taxis can park. It's not feasible to have that. So they're going to park within the localities because that's the nature of the work. And, of course, people are going to be unhappy about it. I don't think there are any easy answers. At the end of the day, we will try and establish... At the top shops here in the CBD, those are parking bays for normal people who are doing shopping, for business people, etc. But taxis are parking there. Now, I've had business people saying, but look at here, they're making a mess here. They're taking our parking. Our clients can't have easy access to parking. They feel unsafe. So where exactly are we suggesting that people should park? Taxis are an important part of the public transport system, and they're growing in number. And it's not easy to find, the best number of sites for these taxis to park.
Let's go back to the line, sir. We have callers on the line. We go to the first line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. My query is on, at Devlin there's the Dipcliff interchange split, the M1 and N1. I did raise it previously, and Jazakallah, you did do something where you put the markings where it shows N12 and N1. But I see there's still a problem there. If, that solid line is short, and before at the speed the motors are traveling, they have to switch over to the other lane, and you get about 5 traffic cars ticketing people. So I just think it's not fair. Maybe if you could just that solid line, increase it another kilometer with a little extra warnings, and you'll free so many policemen. And for the motorists, we are used to the road, but there are people, foreigners who don't know, strangers from other areas, and they end up on the right lane, on the lane going straight, and they find out, hey, they've got to switch to the left. Mm. And then they get ticketed.
No, I know the problem exactly. The difficulty is that you've got an on-ramp that's coming from the Viking Kvaad side.
Yeah.
And you need sufficient, you know, leeway for motorists who want to cross to the right-hand side of the highway. So if you extend that solid line for another kilometer, people coming on from the Viking side will not be able to cross onto the right lane side because they want to go towards the N1. So there's a real clogging up problem there. We have asked Sanval to look at that issue. Lots of people are suggesting that we create an extra lane, particularly the lane that's branching off towards Johannesburg rather than going towards Pretoria. I think Sanval is looking to the possibilities of that, and then the engineers are studying the traffic flow patterns there.
Just a thought. If you have the solid line, say, for the left motorist to move on, you have the dotted and then the solid, so the people from the left can cross over.
From what I understand, the engineers say that there are standard specifications for these kinds of things, particularly when we're looking at on-ramps and off-ramps. The problem is that we have a very difficult intersection to manage because you've got people coming in from the Soweto side, you get people coming from the El Dorado Park, the Viking side, and then you get a normal highway traffic flow, and they all converge at that particular point. And it's a particularly difficult area to maneuver. The engineers are looking at that, and you know, the answer might be lying more in the infrastructure, expanding the road network, rather than just doing the line.
All right, so just as a follow-up, the last question, then, if that is the infrastructure, then is it fair that the motorists get ticketed?
Well, that's a traffic enforcement side. I mean, you know, the idea is this, that many people, because there's such a clogging up there, most people want to take the shortcut. They come right to the point of the off-ramp, and then they want to cut in. Now, if you allow every second person to do that, the people who are diligently and patiently waiting in the queue in the backlog will not get through, and that's why the traffic enforcement is taking place there.
Okay, we have a number of callers. Jazakallah for that one. We have three more callers, and we're also running out of time. What we're going to do is we're going to take the callers, and then we'll get the MEC to respond afterwards. So let's go to the first one. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You live on air? Okay, that one seems to be the problem. Let's go to the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Yes, what is your issue that you'd like to raise?
My issue is to Ismail Bhai. The road that comes from the N12 that runs through to Leratong Hospital, that goes past Protea Glen and the mall. A few years ago, they built a dual road running through to Leratong Hospital. But halfway along the line, then they stopped it. Then it's like a two-way for the next 5 kilometers, and then it's again a dual road. Now, that old road is always giving up when it rains, and they patch it, and there's always a problem. Why did they leave that small piece open instead of completing it?
No, it's not left open. You're raising a very important issue. We do the road construction work based on budgets and in phases. So that was the first phase that was completed. The unfortunate thing about the second phase is that when I just came into office in November 2012, I did a review of all the contracts that were issued. I found that 15 contracts, I found that things were not right. I had asked the Auditor General to investigate it, and the Auditor General's report came back saying that there were procedural irregularities in the awarding of the contracts. So the difficulty we now have is that the contract, at least on paper, was awarded. The only way we can reverse that decision is that if we go to court. We have filed the court application. This is the fourth year we're waiting for the courts to put the matter on the roll. The court has to declare a contract valid or invalid. We can't take that decision unilaterally. So we're waiting for that decision. We're doing everything we can to pressurize the courts to give us a date. 5 of the 15 cases are now resolved. Unfortunately, the department has won on those. So we're waiting for the next batch to come online. That road is an extremely dangerous road. I drive on there myself, sometimes going to Azadwell or Krugersdorp.
Yes.
I am familiar with the problem. It is in serious need of repair. I mean, it's really cracking up.
Yes.
We're hoping we can get a court judgment quite soon so that we can complete the dual carriageway. It's part of our plans.
All right.
Okay. We're running out of time, and we just have a few more quick questions that we'd like to take. Callers, let's take our last caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Quickly, I just wanted to correct MC Vadi that the road for it's between Roodepoort and the Florida Lake area where there's a problem, all right, going through to Florida Town. But the other question I wanted to ask was, learner drivers, are they allowed to drive on the highways? Because I travel 80 k's every day to my office and back, right? And you see this all the time, and I agree with the MEC. People are not obeying the law. They drive 140 in peak hours, and they expect you to give way so that they can go through. But the problem is learner drivers on the national roads.
Look, what I would suggest is if you can just call the controller here and get my number so that you can SMS me the exact road details and your contact details so that we can follow up on that.
Okay.
Sometimes learner drivers, they are going for the learner tests, and the only access they can get to the driving centers might be through the highways. It's not irregular as far as I know. I might be wrong. And then the speeding is a big problem. We are looking at a number of options. We have seen what the Western Cape government and KZN is doing. They are going for aggressive enforcement. They're going for speed over distance. These are things that our traffic officials are beginning to look at. Gauteng, there is a degree of lawlessness on our roads, and I think we are going to be looking at the issue of speed controls very, very seriously. For example, the e-toll gantries that we've got, we can use that for speed over distance control. We can use that for speed fines. We have not introduced it. But if we look at the rate at which people are speeding on our highways, it's completely unacceptable.
There's been a lot of interaction, and you've been able to gain some insight on the sentiment amongst people and the issues that have been raised, issues that affect people on a daily basis. You know, sometimes one small issue on one street may be a small issue in the bigger scheme of things, but for that person, it is a major problem.
No, you're right with yourself. I mean, sometimes there's a small stone in the shoe that really irritates you more than some boil, you know, on your backside or something. So it's important that we look at this. I think what it shows up is that, you know, our linkages with municipalities are not strong enough. Ordinary citizens, I think that's really the issue. Because a lot of the calls were about local issues, about things that the municipality should be sorting out. And I think if we can get a bit more of that done, It can just get the headaches out of people's lives. We need a more responsive local government. We need councillors who are more proactive in the approach, more willing to interact with communities. I don't want to say who the councillor is in the Lalesia area. These things should be resolved by your local councillor. It's not for the MEC for Roads and Transport in Gauteng to deal with Nyala Road, Nyala Crescent or something of that sort. That's a councillor's responsibility. So when people make choices, they need to think very carefully during elections, who they're voting for, etc. It's good, and you know, it's good to complain afterwards. But these are important choices that people... Your local councillor is a very, very important person, and get the best person for the job. On the broader side, I think that what this shows is that roads and transport is a big issue in our province. There's a number of calls that are coming through. We are very mindful of that. Public transport is a very big issue. And I think from the provincial government side, we are working very hard to build a new, modernized public transport system. Two things that I would like to talk about is really the expansion of the Gautrain. It's a big success story for the Gauteng government. We are now looking at a new phase of expansion, roughly from Pretoria East, so if you're looking at Mamelodi, coming down towards the airport, cutting through to Randburg, and then going right through to Lanseria Airport, and also coming into Jabulani in Soweto. That's more or less the kind of area that we're looking at. Hopefully the next 4 or 5 weeks, I should be making a major announcement about the future expansion of the Gautrain. We're also looking slightly at the southward expansion. It won't come right through the lens, but we are looking at closer linkages to the south, and then, of course, to the Boksburg area. Currently, the Gautrain is a north-south. It's a Pretoria-Joburg and then Sandton Airport link. We are now looking at an east-west linkage. If all systems go and if Treasury gives us approval, this is going to be a 15-year project for massive expansion of our rail network. We are very concerned about some of the developments in Plaza and Metro Rail, because the vast majority of people use the ordinary Metro Rail line. There's 1 million passengers every day using Metro Rail. It's not safe. It's, you know, there's cable theft and it's not on time. But people have to go to work. If you take just in this week, from Dunswav to Springs to Germiston, we've suspended that line because train drivers were attacked. 19 train drivers have been attacked. So these are important issues to build the public transport.
Undoubtedly.
It really is critical for us.
Yeah, there's so much more that we need to talk about, and the issues we also wanted to touch on, the e-toll issues, and also looking at the municipal elections. I think we're going to get you back again
inshallah.
In the coming days, inshallah.
Exactly.
We've run out of time for this morning. We really appreciate you coming to the studios and taking the calls from our listeners.
Exactly.
And we look forward to chatting again, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.